for the music. It was interesting how things like what we do kind of tie in together, whether we plan it or not, which we don't. Anyway, the day is the seventh day of the feast, the last official day of the feast, and we still have tomorrow. And I'm glad to be here with everyone. It's been, all they always say is, it's the best feast, and has to be, that this was. And I can't see anybody out complaining about anything except for Mr. Jones. When he didn't get that trophy, you should have seen him out there. It's a good thing you didn't. But glad to be here. Sounds simple to though, but those four words will have a different meaning to you before this end of the sermon. Have you ever thought as to why we're here keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? To most of you, all of you would say, yes, I do. And wonder if I'm all right. You know, because if he is asking that question, something may be wrong with him. Well, this question has gone over into my mind many times. We start off each year with the Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, the last great day. Then the next year we do Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and last great day. And that goes on and on and on and on every year. We seem to repeat ourselves each year and for some many years. Well, there is one thing for sure, and that is that we are not here for selfish reasons. Anyone can save up for a trip and have a great time. But after giving a lot of thought, I have come to the conclusion that we're here to practice. We're here to practice the coming kingdom of God. And we practice all other holy days for the purpose that they serve. You say practice. What do you mean practice? Well, before an athlete plays a sport, they must practice, or an actor rehearses for a scene for a play or a movie. I have asked you before, are we there yet? Well, we're still not there yet, but we have arrived on the practice field. Hopefully each time we get there a little better, closer to perfection. It's all about repetition. We learn by repetition, and unfortunately, things we learn are perishable skills. So we need to study and meditate and pray so we stay ready. Have you ever heard the term, in order to be ready, you have to stay ready? God called us all for a reason, and we have been hearing what that reason is all week. We have heard many of the same scriptures and read them, which is okay, because it just as I said, learning is a perishable skill. Can be. I want to share with you something that I thought was both interesting and I believe to be appropriate for the theme that I am attempting to create. Hopefully this will set the tone for the remainder of this message. I'm sure that everyone is familiar with the Blue Angels Flight Demonstration Squadron. I'm going to play a tape, a video clip. And on this clip, it will show the methods in which each pilot prepares themselves for each flight that the U.S. Navy Blue Angels practice for an upcoming event. But first, let me give you a little background about the Blue Angels. They were formed in 1946, and they call themselves the Navy Flight Exposition. And they were inspired by France's own acrobatic team that was formed in 1931. But then they eventually changed the name to the Blue Angels after seeing an advertisement in the New Yorker magazine of a nightclub called the Blue Angel Supper Club. It takes a special person to become a member of the Blue Angels. Not only do they have demonstration pilots, but support staff that consists of flight surgeons, event coordinators, maintenance officer, supply officer, and public affairs officer. Each member plays a role in the success of each demonstration. Just like with us, we all have a place that we have an expertise in. One thing that made the biggest impression on me was the fact that before each demonstration, of all the pilots sit together in one room around a table, and they meticulously go over every move from takeoff throughout the entire demonstration, mimicking each hand or foot movement and voice command like a type of meditation. I think you will get a better idea if you see it for yourself. So Steve's going to play the first video. Can't go too far with the microphone.
But in the briefing process, we'll cover some administrative details, some safety details, some aircraft limitations that we like to review every time we brief, the limitations and emergency procedures, we review them every time we brief. And then we get into the meat of it as far as what's going to happen out there. And it's about a 10 or 15 minute recitation of what I'm going to be saying in the air.
And you go through each maneuver, and if you notice the boss, when we're all together, he would talk some maneuvers just in their name, and then he would go through certain calls.
But it's a recitation of the words so that each pilot can hear those words. So, for example, I'll say, okay, we're parked in reverse order for remote reverse walkdown. Crank them up on 8, 9, and 18, take off checks in the chucks. Give me a left 90 out of the chucks and go in and clear parking. Take the runway for the covered wagon. I'm going to show you to go 16 com 2. We'll go 16 com 2. We'll be clear for takeoff with a wind check. Check the parking brakes off. Maneuvers for the diamond. A diamond burner loop for the right turn. All of my Gucci sturdy roll on takeoff. Low transition, high performance climb to the split S. And while I'm saying those things, those are what they're going to hear on the radio. Some of the guys will close their eyes and they'll visualize what they're, and if someone will move their hands a little bit, they'll visualize what they're going to be seeing out there while that's occurring. it's like going out and warming up before you, you know, if you're a pitcher, warming up your arm a little bit, but they warm up their minds.
And everybody is very attuned to the boss and what he's saying, and he makes those calls in the brief just like he'd make them in a flight.
Although the boss speaks a little faster, the rhythm and timing lapse between his calls is proportional, so the pilots get the same sense of timing in the brief as they will once they're in the air.
Now, burner is ready now. Power set. Gear. Auto drive. Up there we go. A little more pull. Burner is ready now. Easing the pull. Easing power. Easing more power. Stand by the boards, boards. Commas up. Smoke off. Coming right. Wings are level. Smoke on. Boom.
A little more. Adding
power. Easing the pull. Easing power.
It is almost a church-going atmosphere in there. It's very quiet.
Easing power. Easing more power. Commas up. Easing the pull. Rolling out. Turn left. A little pull.
Aerial photographs of the show site help pilots complete the visualization process.
I've flown the air show before I ever go out there. I fly it in my mind. I know what my 3-mile checkpoint is. I know what my 2-mile checkpoint is. I know where I expect to see Thumper. I know what the next maneuver is. And I actually move my wrist and can fly the show. It's good concentration. It's what you need because you get focused. Then you go out there and you just have to do it.
Well, I hope you can see how I'm trying to compare the two, us learning things and practicing them. I found this to be very interesting, how they sit together and they listen to the lead pilot and practice his verbal commands. Let's turn to Psalms 119:26. And it says, I have declared my ways, and you answer me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. Remember when I said that we are practicing for God's kingdom? We read and study our Bible. We listen to sermons and sit and meditate on what we have learned, much like the Blue Angel pilots have. They prepare for their flight. It is all about achieving perfection. We are far away from perfection, but we prepare ourselves for the millennium. We will be ready. So, are we just practicing for our own entrance into the kingdom, or is there another purpose? Yes, indeed. There is another purpose. We are practicing to be teachers and leaders during the millennium. If you think about it, there will be many people that will enter and that we will encounter that need to be taught the real truth. And this will be without Satan's influence, which will make teaching a little easier. On the other hand, for us, it was or still is much more difficult because we still have Satan's radio traffic trying to distract and cause interference. Let me give an example of what we may encounter during the millennium. So let's turn to Acts 8, verse 26. And it says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting on his chariot as he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice, he was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip. And said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he was baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. This example we got from Philip is a perfect lesson of what we could encounter during the millennium. We're preparing ourselves now to handle these types of situations. Most recently, it reminds me of the Behind the Works series that we have been watching in regards to each congregation that Mr. Armstrong was assigned to. There was growth and baptisms, which was obvious that God was working with him, just as he will with us when that time comes. Let's turn now to Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to continue to grow spiritually in grace and knowledge and prepare ourselves to be teachers and leaders so that we can enter the kingdom of God ready. We need to be steadfast and remain to be rooted and grounded. We have all seen too many fall from the truth. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 13:4. "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, you shall serve him and hold fast to him. And then 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being laid away with error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. God gives us the opportunity to learn and make mistakes. He is patient with us as we should be with our own children. In the present, we are still going to face tests, and that is going to make us stronger. It also makes us more valuable to each time we have an opportunity to multiply the talents that we have, that he enables us to serve more. In Malachi 3:3, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord with offering and in righteousness. As we learn to apply the knowledge that we gain, we become closer to God. I've been humbled by the members that I have been able to spend time with. The collective knowledge that is present here at this year's feast has been a blessing to me. Many people have said to me that I've always told, said to me that I'm too quiet, that maybe that's true, but I was always told that the reason you have two ears and one mouth, we need to listen more than we speak. We need to ask ourselves, what did we take away from this year's Feast of Tabernacles? We have all been to many feasts, and in the past we have all learned something new each time we attend, from the first one to all the way up until this one. As I said earlier, it is all about repetition. We learn by repetition many things that we learn we can forget. So we need to study, meditate, and pray regularly so that we can stay ready. Back at the beginning, I told you that I was glad to be here. I got that from the debriefing that the Blue Angels do after each flight demonstration. So let me show you exactly what I mean by that. That's the last one.
Critical debriefing process, which they consider as important as the actual fight itself. They hash out what worked, what didn't, and no punches are pulled.
We are wide open as we can possibly be to criticism. We want to become our own worst critics.
We debrief everything. I'll tell you how specific it gets. We even debrief the march to our airplanes and the march back. So and you get picked on for every little thing. And most of us haven't marched in 10 years of being in the Navy, so they get very specific.
The debrief process takes probably twice as long as the flight took itself. Rank doesn't come into play, experience levels, those are good, but you have to set those aside when the criticism starts to come, because that's the only way you're going to learn the maneuver, and that's the only way you're going to get to where the maneuver looks good and is safe.
I think I was a little bit late dropping you guys, a little low up on the drop. But other than that, there was nice and a little bumpy in the spots. But, glad we went flying. Glad to be here.
Sure, also, I'm glad we went flying too. Turned out nice. And I had a couple safeties on the line and left echelon flat path coming over and acknowledged the go diamond call. Just concentrating on where I was going and my how quick the move was going to be. And I was 20 feet off from a loop break, low break cross, 280 feet. You know, I can fix all those things. So,
all these things are called safeties, or things that were, say, problems or violations from our standards.
Had safety coming back in. For some reason, I thought we were going right 45s to the park. And then I even called Vernon left. We were turning right. So it was pretty good for me up until we got there. I was just happy to be here. Glad to be here.
We have a term that we use, had to be here. Vernon is an outrainy, an ash pilot, literally. And I'm no kidding, just lucky enough to be in the Blues. And that's where that term comes from, to the boss, hey, I'm glad to be here. Because there's guys out in the Mediterranean Sea tonight, out in the Persian Gulf, landing on a ship at night, taking care of us. And so I could carry a little bit of the fleet with me. So a guy walk around and say, hey, look, the Blue Angels are representing us.
We have really good tapes, videotapes that we look at. Tape can be stopped, it can be reversed, slowed, played back, and we do a lot of that. And that's how we get toward the levels of performance that we want. We have two critiquers on the ground that look up the maneuvers and tell us their impressions, basically, from where the maneuvers are placed and how it looked to them.
You guys are jabbing up. That's what we're really long today for the conditions. Glad to hear those.
When we make these mistakes and fess up to them, every time we fly, it's just an extremely important aspect of what we do. What we do after we said this, I made this mistake and I'll fix it. You always say that you're going to fix it. And what that leaves us with feeling is, you recognize a mistake and going to take corrective action, not to let it happen again. So it doesn't drop our confidence level in the person in the formation.
If you don't take it seriously and don't debrief, if you ever get complacent, you're going to kill yourself or you're going to kill somebody else. So you've got to be able to learn each and every time you go on, because there's never been the perfect flight demonstration yet that the Blues have ever put on. So we're always looking to perfect it.
All that preparation continues to pay off, and the team wanted to be at their best for the upcoming tour in New York. The Blues may fly the perfect dish, but it sure is fun to watch him try.
I thought that was pretty cool. So just that they are glad to be here is because they are selected in that special assignment, just like we are. They stay humble and self-corrective, and they never take it for granted that they are a part of a special group. We're also a member of a special group, and that one we all have special insight. So I'm very glad to be here, and thank you for the special Feast of Tabernacles.